The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
At the beginning of the year, the Labour Party veteran Fergus Finlay asked permission to run for president from the party's leader, Ivana Bacic. Instead, after a lot of to-ing and fro-ing, his party has chosen to support Catherine Connolly. It isn't the first time that Fergus Finlay has lost out on the possibility of a nomination from his party, and he joins me now. Fergus, good morning.
Hi, Pat. How are you doing?
Now, you know, this wasn't going to be your first rodeo, as they say, in terms of seeking a nomination, because you did in the past. What is it about that job that attracts you?
Oh, I thought you were going to say, what is it about me that repels everybody else? I'll tell you something that I haven't told anyone else before. In 1985, that's a long time ago, I tried to persuade my party leader at the time to oppose Paddy Hillary for the park. Not because I wanted to, because I didn't like Paddy Hillary, I was a man I greatly admired, but because I felt then that the presidency should be a contested office. I've always believed that the unique feature of the presidency is that every citizen of the country gets a vote. And I believed it was important then. In fact, I really wanted the Labour Party to nominate Eileen Desmond, who is a Cork TD, and wonderful woman, to oppose Paddy Hillary. Now, it didn't bear fruit at the time, and she wouldn't have done well because Paddy Hillary was universally popular and respected, and all of that. But the principle was the same in my head. This is a unique office, and what makes it unique and what makes it uniquely important is it is beholden to the people of Ireland and to nobody else. The president takes an oath to serve the welfare of the people and, you know, and to uphold the constitution. And I just have always believed and I've always argued in favour of that being a post that is worth fighting for. So, you know, I've been at this a long time, I suppose. But that's my main reason. My main reason is I believe in the office. I've had ideas for years about how you can make the office hum a bit better than it hums. I know it has no power. I understand that fully, but it has immense soft power. It has immense influence. Who you invite to Áras na Uachtaráin matters. The kind of meetings you arrange in Áras na Uachtaráin matters. The people you discuss things with matter. Who you appoint to the Council of State is capable of making a statement. There are all sorts of the communities you choose to visit. All those things add value, not to the office itself, but to the role the office plays in public life and to the community that the president is supposed to serve.
Now, it's a job that someone who's involved in politics as deeply as you were, you know, might be suggested it could be frustrating. Do you know that there is a political straitjacket imposed on the president? Now, Michael Dee has stretched his arms out of that straitjacket a few times during his tenure. But by and large, that you might find it a frustration.
I've never seen it that way, oddly enough. I just have never seen it that way. I have a particular view of the difference between power and influence. I worked for, in my head, one of the great politicians of the last 30 years, Dick Spring. And I believed Dick Spring was enormously influential in Ireland from, let's say, 1989 until the mid-90s. Half of that time he was in office and half of that time he was in opposition. And half of that time he was influential and the other half he was powerful. And it's hard, I think if you were writing a biography, it'd be hard to say which was the more important time in terms of Ireland and in terms of the contribution he made and so on. I think, you know, in office he made an enormous contribution to peace in Ireland. In opposition, he made an enormous contribution to Ireland's democracy. So I just have a particular view that influence matters, really matters. And when it's used wisely and well and in the interests of other people, it can make a profound difference. But I've never felt the need to have trappings of power.
So you had contemplated this before your name was circulated, certainly in 2011, again, maybe 2018, before it was apparent that Michael
Dean...
I never learn. But 2018, of course, Michael Dean was, he pledged to be a one-term president, and then he went on to take a second unopposed. But so you go to your party leader, Ivana Bacic, in January, and you say to her, I wouldn't mind if you're thinking of putting...
To be fair, Pat, I didn't say that. I said I'd love to meet you to talk about the presidency. That's all I said. Now, I think the message was reasonably clear, but I didn't say I want to run, it must be me. I've never felt any kind of sense of entitlement. The first argument I wanted to make, if I got a chance to meet her, it didn't happen. The first argument I wanted to make was that we must contest. Now, bear in mind, Pat, the field is... there's a left-wing candidate in the field now, and the party has endorsed that left-wing candidate. There was no left-wing candidate in the field. There were a lot of votes in the Oireachtas uncommitted to anything, and I believed that it was then early that there was a real prospect, a possibility at least, of the party putting forward somebody. And I wanted to be considered as part of the process for finding that somebody. I've never assumed any sense of entitlement. I've been beaten so often, why would I? But I've never assumed any sense of entitlement, but I did want to be part of the process. Now, it just didn't happen, and that's fine, that's that. I'll probably get a chance to run when I'm 97 or something.
Now, the point is that Labour has occupied the office, and as you say, it's a non-political office, but in terms of nominations and so on, Mary Robinson... and Michael D. Higgins. So Labour has prospered in this particular electoral contest. Do you believe that for the Labour Party itself, for its own identity, it really should have its own candidate?
Yes. Yes, I think particularly at a time when the party is struggling and things aren't going as well as they might. Bear in mind, in 1989, when Dick Spring said, if nobody else will contest, I'll contest. Bear in mind what the party had been through a really, really bruising election in 1987 and a really bruising period of government before that. We were not at a high ebb in 1989, but the principle was what mattered. And the principle was there has to be a contest. This cannot be a coronation. It's not democratic and it's not right, and it demeans the office if there's endless coronations. And the party was not in a good place. The first thing we worried about was, my God, how much is this all going to cost? And, you know, it was very difficult. And this time was no different. Now, there was a difference in the sense that we had 20 office votes then. We don't now. But we've never gone into the presidency, the presidential election, as a shoe-in, as a guaranteed winner. In fact, a very distinguished, seasoned political commentator wrote Mary Robinson was nominated. I'm sure she'll be a credible candidate. We all know what happened. And the point about it, Plata, sorry if I'm being long-winded, it wasn't that the party wanted to run for the presidency, for the party's sake. We believed that we could make a difference. And I honestly believe that anyone who ranks the presidents of Ireland, maybe not in terms of their greatness or their historic nature or their age or anything like that, but in terms of the impact they made, in terms of the difference they left behind, Mary Robinson would rank really, really high on that list. You didn't have to like her or love her or adore her to recognise that Ireland after Mary Robinson was a quite different place to Ireland before Mary Robinson. The things that election unleashed in terms of confidence and spirit and change were quite profound. So it's worth fighting always for that kind of stuff. It's always worth fighting. And I've always believed, and I'm sorry, I hope I don't mean to sound arrogant about it, because I'm a lifelong member of the Labour Party, I've always believed that Labour should be in the vanguard when it comes to fighting for that kind of change.
Now, you've also spoken about Catherine Connolly and how it was really wrong of the Labour Party to back her, not that she mightn't have sterling qualities, etc., etc., but given her history with the Labour Party, maybe the wrong choice. She has other elements which she will be addressing, no doubt, and be challenged on during the campaign, but that she should not be Labour's candidate.
Well, I hope I haven't said it was wrong, because it was a democratic choice made within the party, and I've always accepted that. I think it was a mistake, and I do not understand. I do not understand why she wanted our endorsement, and I don't understand why she got our endorsement. Her relationship with the Labour Party has always been one bordering, I would say, on contempt. She left the Labour Party because we didn't make what would have been an absolutely stupid and suicidal decision to run two candidates in Galway West. She wanted to run alongside Michael D. Higgins, and that would have cost him the seat and certainly wouldn't have got her a seat in 2006, I think it was. And to make that decision would have been just daft, crazy. But she couldn't bring herself to accept that. She left the party shortly afterwards. And if I'm not putting too harsh a word on it, she's never had a good word to say about the Labour Party since, never, once. I'm not sure that any other political party would have looked at a candidate like that and said, oh, we're behind you 100%. But that's the decision we made. And so that's, I'm a Democrat. I've never, I've been beaten many a time in the past. I've won a few, lost a few. But you roll and you go on, and the party has made that decision, and I respect it.
Some of the comments coming in: I would have voted for Fergus Findlay if he was on the ballot. That's from Emily Finn. Fergus Findlay is a far superior candidate to any of the current wannabes, in my opinion, although I do think he'd be wasted in that position, but he should have been afforded the opportunity to try. And this suggestion from Bernard: would Fergus not contact Micheál Martin and see if Fianna Fáil would support him as an independent candidate?
Look, this is one of my, I don't know if it's a strength or a failing, okay? I joined the Labour Party when I was 17, 18. So I've been a member of the party somewhere between 50 and 60 years. I've never fought against the party. I would never run against the party. It has been suggested to me, for example, that, you know, people would support me running around local authorities and looking for nominations. I will not run against my own party.
But they're only the hind tit, as they say, of the nomination process for Catherine Connolly. She's not their candidate. They've rowed in with support, but she's not a Labour Party candidate.
But they have. She's not a Labour Party candidate. But that's the tent that has been pitched by the party. And I have, as a party member, if I ever resign from the Labour Party, which I hope I don't, if I ever resign from the Labour Party, it'll be on an issue of policy, of principle, of value. If I feel the party has lost its values, that'd be different. I'm never going to resign from the Labour Party or oppose the Labour Party out of pique.
So, finally, you would characterise this, Fergus, really as a missed opportunity for the party.
I think
I'm not talking about you yourself as the missed opportunity,
but a
nomination, a missed opportunity.
I think the party's in a difficult place. We've been there before. I think we're struggling to be relevant, and we're searching for ways to be relevant. And we will find the answer to that question, because this is a party that is the oldest and the most democratic party in the state. It's one of its great strengths, is its roots in Ireland and its roots in Ireland's history. Mistakes, strengths, good things, bad things, all of that. We are really, at the moment, struggling. And this doesn't help, in my opinion. Win, lose or draw, we should always be in the battle, would be my honest opinion. And has always been my opinion. Nothing to do with me. Win, lose or draw, the party should always be in the battle.
Fergus Findlay, thank you very much for joining us on the programme.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.